In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
Congratulations, we have reached the second Sunday of the Great Lent in the Coptic Church. And God willing, after five more weeks, we enter the holiest week of the whole year leading up to Easter. And as you know, the church has put in a lectionary of readings for every day and every Sunday of the Great Lent. And last Sunday, you may recall, was known as the Sunday of the Treasures, because the Lord tells us, or the Lord advises us, or the Lord commands us not to lay up treasures here on earth, but instead to lay up our treasures with Him in heaven. Because simply, if I lay up my treasures here on earth, it will be subject to corruption by the elements such as rust, subject to destruction by perhaps wild animals or rodents or insects, like being moth-eaten. And earthly treasure can be subject to being stolen, where thieves break in and steal. So if I put my treasure here on earth, it'll remain here on earth, subject to corruption, destruction, and robbery. And ultimately, I have to leave this earth, and whatever is left of the earthly treasure is left behind, whether I like it or not. However, of course, if I put my treasure in heaven, there's no corruption, no destruction, no unrighteousness, so my treasure remains waiting for me, and I, God willing, would receive it, and it would be with me forever. And the way, of course, you know, to put our treasure in heaven is simply by doing good deeds here on earth. And there's a wonderful prayer which Father prays at the beginning of the liturgy in the early morning for each of us, for those who labor for the church. And he says to God to give us, or give them, as you see on the screen, give them the incorruptible instead of the corruptible, the heavenly instead of the earthly, and the eternal instead of the temporal. What a wonderful prayer, where the priest is asking God to give you incorruptible things, means things that cannot corrupt, cannot be destroyed, will last forever. He's asking God to give you heavenly things that outlast the earthly, and eternal things that last forever instead of the temporary things. So when I put some of my temporary resources, whether I give some of my temporary time or effort or money or anything else that I have, I put something temporary that's going to finish, and he gives me something eternal that'll last forever. I put something here on earth, and this earth will pass away, and he instead gives me something in heaven waiting for me, and that will last with me forever. That was last Sunday, the Sunday of the Treasures. And now this Sunday is called, as you know, the Sunday of Temptations, because as we just heard in the Gospel, and as you would have heard in the morning Gospel and in last night's Vespers Gospel, the Lord spent 40 days in the wilderness fasting and was then tempted by the devil. Before we talk about temptation and how the Lord teaches us to overcome temptation, we need to agree on one thing, which is the criteria to enter heaven. We said that the Lord taught us to lay up treasures in heaven, but it'd be a shame if after laying up the treasures in heaven, we don't make it into heaven to enjoy those treasures with the Lord forever. So it's important that we continue on a path to enter heaven to enjoy the heavenly treasures. So first of all, heaven, as you all know, is pure, is holy, and undefiled. So I cannot enter heaven if I am impure or unholy, blasphemous, or defiled. So the first condition to enter heaven, I think we all would agree, is purity. Second entry criteria into heaven is humility, because I cannot be puffed up and wanting to be entering heaven. I cannot be proud and wanting to enter heaven. I can only boast or pride in my Lord Jesus Christ and in him crucified. So to enter heaven, I not only need purity, I need humility. And the third criteria we could say for entering heaven is, this one may be obvious, but is worshiping God or depending on God, worshiping him alone. And although it's obvious, and God forbid, I don't think anyone would worship the devil, but sometimes we put extra dependence on the money of this world, perhaps the powers of this world, and we end up unknowingly worshiping, instead of God, the Almighty, we worship what we think is powerful, which is money. And the Lord told us no one can worship two masters. So we either serve God, worship him, or we serve money, or we worship money, or God forbid, we worship the devil. So we can say to enter heaven, we need purity, humility, and worshiping the true God. If I insist on impurity, then I lose heaven. If I insist on being proud, then I've lost heaven. And if, obviously, I insist on worshiping money, idols, the devil, or anything other than God, then I lose heaven. And the devil clearly wants me to lose heaven. The devil has been trying with every human being from our great-grandparents, Adam and Eve, until now, to put in traps or tricks so that none of us make it to heaven. And the devil uses three common tricks, three common temptations that he used with everyone, and as we'll hear in a minute, he's used with the Lord. The devil does not want anyone to enter heaven. In this life, we will have tribulations, we were told by the Lord. Yes, we will have tribulations in this life, and that's a fact. And in this world, the devil will tempt us, that's a fact. But it is also a fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome the world, and the devil has no authority over any one of us. We who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ and should not be enslaved by the devil. We who have received the Holy Spirit are temples of God and should not be defeated by the devil's tricks. So the devil has no authority over us, although he can still tempt us. The devil is given permission to tempt us to a limit, but he is not given authority to force anyone to sin. I sin when I disregard God, when I disobey God, and instead I run away from God, and running away from God means running to the devil. And of course, no one in their right mind would run to the devil, but unfortunately, sometimes without knowing it, we do run to the devil. And the devil tries to tempt us, like we said, in three different ways. And he mixes and matches those ways depending on our stage of life and depending on what he thinks he can harm us the most. The devil and his armies are very organized. Number one, he tests us to try and make us lose our purity. He tries to test us with what's called the lust of the flesh, or inappropriate pleasures. Now, there's nothing wrong. The Lord allows us to have pleasures in this world within him. He allows us to eat, drink, and get married. But the devil wants us to have inappropriate indulgences or inappropriate pleasures. And that's the first temptation that the devil uses, is the lust of the flesh or inappropriate pleasures. The second trick of the devil is to try and make us fall in pride. And the third is to try and make us fall in greed and reliance on earthly possessions or earthly positions or anything that is outside of God. So instead of worshiping God and depending on him, the devil wants us to depend on earthly possessions and worship them. So those are the three common tricks of the devil, trying to make us fall into lust of the flesh or inappropriate pleasures, trying to make us fall into pride of life, or trying to make us fall into what's called lust of the eyes, being greedy and wanting everything the eye can see and depending on those earthly possessions. And like we said, he can mix and match those things. If I'm a youth and I've been struggling to keep my purity, struggling, and then with the Lord's grace I overcome impurity and become pure, the devil can come and try and hit me with the temptation of pride. You could say, oh, look at you, you're a saint now, compared to those other people who are still struggling. So we have to be careful because the devil uses those three tricks and mixes and matches them in different ways. As we heard in today's gospel reading, the devil even tried to tempt and dare to try and tempt the Lord Jesus himself with those three temptations. And the Lord allowed himself to be tempted by the devil to show me and to show all of us how to overcome the devil and his tricks. The devil tried to tempt the Lord when Jesus was hungry after fasting for 40 days by telling him, turn this stone into bread to appease your hunger, to satisfy your flesh. But the Lord fasted, and not only fasted by abstaining from earthly food, but he taught us that fasting is not just abstinence from earthly food, but must be accompanied by reliance and eating more spiritual food. So the Lord said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we too must fight inappropriate pleasures, must fight the lusts of the flesh by using fasting, and not just fasting from earthly food, but increasing our eating of the Word of God, the spiritual food. Number two, the devil tried to tempt the Lord with pride, asking the Lord, throw yourself down from on high to make a grand scene, to show off your might and your power. The Lord has no need to show off his power or his might. Jesus tells the devil that it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And we too must fight this temptation of pride, even if it comes in subtle forms, and must labor to seek after humility. And humility can only be attained through appropriate prayer. The one who does not pray or doesn't pray faithfully will easily stumble in the sin of pride. And when I pray, I realize and I acknowledge the greatness of God. And relatively speaking, I realize my weakness, my frailty, and my need. And I realize my dependence on my loving, my caring, my powerful, my almighty God. And then I could properly see myself as being weak without the Lord, yet strong in the Lord. I can do nothing without the Lord, yet in the Lord and through the Lord, I can do all things. Therefore, the glory naturally belongs to the Lord. Therefore, I have no need to be proud. I need to be humble because the glory belongs to the Lord alone. The more I pray, the less the sin of pride can overtake me, because I realize that any success, anything that I am successful in, whether in this world or in virtues spiritually, the glory belongs to the Lord. The third way the devil tried to tempt the Lord, as you know, was with earthly possessions. What is known as the lust of the eyes, or giving the eye whatever it desires. He showed him all these great kingdoms of the world and said, I can give you all this. Really? I can give you all this if you bow down and worship me. And the devil tries to do that with each one of us. I can give you more money if you just cheat here. If you just lie on your income tax return, if you just do this, I can give you all these earthly possessions. But the Lord shows us that we also must say to the devil, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. We need to worship God and serve him. Serve him when I serve the poor, when I serve the sick, when I serve the needy, when I help those in distress, I'm serving the Lord. When I feed the poor, when I feed the hungry, when I cover the naked and visit the imprisoned or the sick, I'm serving the Lord. And that's how we fight against the desires of the eyes, or the lusts of the eyes, or the reliance on earthly possessions, by giving, by helping, by loving and forgiving. All these acts of charity are what we need to do in order to fight the devil's trick of wanting us to have more reliance on possessions. And during Lent, you all know there's a common hymn that we chant during communion after Psalm 150 where we say, "Blessed are those who have mercy, who give to the poor and fast and pray. Blessed are those who have mercy, who give to the poor and fast and pray." Those are the things that we need to do. The hymn summarizes what we need to focus on, of course, in addition to repentance, is acts of mercy, giving, fasting, and prayer. Blessed are those who have mercy. Blessed are those who are merciful. If I want God to be merciful with me, I also need to be merciful with my brothers and sisters. And those elements, giving to the poor or acts of charity, fasting and prayer, are what we obviously need to focus on. And these are things that we actually must do because they are prescribed to us by our heavenly doctor, by God saying these are medicines to fight against the devil's three temptations. Because when I give to the poor, I protect myself from falling into the lust of the eyes or dependence and reliance and even worshiping earthly possessions. When I fast, I protect myself from falling into the lust of the flesh or inappropriate pleasures. And by praying, I protect myself from falling into pride. And we have a small analogy we want to go through really quickly about children and their parents. First of all, if I'm a bad parent, if I am a foolish parent, I'm mean, I lack love, I'm unrighteous, I lie, I cheat, I'm a hypocrite, what do you think my children would do? Would they easily love me? Who thinks children would love a foolish, mean, cheating parent? I think it would be difficult to love someone like that. Would they respect me? If I say one thing and do the other, if I'm foolish, if I am hypocritical, I don't think my children would respect me. And if they don't love me or respect me, would they obey me? I think it would be difficult to ask my son and daughter to do something when they see me lying and when they see me saying one thing and doing the other. So I think we could all agree that if I'm a foolish, mean, unrighteous parent, it would be tough to expect my daughter or son to obey me. On the flip side, what if I'm a good father? If I'm loving, if I'm wise, if I'm righteous, would it be fair to expect my children to love me? I'm loving and I'm wise and I'm looking after them. So yeah, of course, my children would love me. Would they respect someone who they see not only is loving but is wise, has good planning, carries out his affairs with discretion? I think they would both love and respect a father or mother of that type. And if they love me and they respect me, then naturally it would be easier for them to obey me. Now, fortunately, thank God, we all have a good father who is very loving, very wise, full of righteousness. So we, as his children, ought to obey him because we love him. He first loved us, and we respect him. We obey him because we love him. We love him because he first loved us. We obey him because we love and respect him. We respect him knowing that he is wisdom, full of wisdom, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-caring, caring for each of us individually. So just like the child obeys their good parent out of love and respect, I also obey God out of love and respect. So we have this good father who loves us and who we love and respect, and he's given us three medicines to take on a daily basis. Given us the medicine, we said, of charity to fight against what's called the lust of the eyes or the dependence on earthly possessions. He wants us to share, to give our time, our effort, our money, our possessions, give our love, give our forgiveness. Charity is the medicine that would fight against the earthly possessions so that I don't stumble on my way to heaven. Second medicine he gave us is fasting to fight, like we said, the lust and inappropriate pleasures of the world, the lusts of the flesh, against indulgences in inappropriate pleasures. He wants us to be pure so that all those who are pure can enter heaven without any lust. And he's given us the third medicine of prayer to fight against pride. He is a good father. He is a loving father. He is a wise father. He is a righteous father. And we ought to love and respect him as he first loved us. And he knows what's best for us. If you noticed at the end of today's gospel, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. And sometimes we struggle taking our medicine on a daily basis, whether it's doing good, fasting, or prayer. So he's given us actually also angels to minister to us. Each one of us, as you know, who's baptized, has a guardian angel ministering to us, interceding on our behalf on a daily basis. In addition, we have here two angels, the priests of the church or the angels of the church, who are also ministering to us on a daily basis. We have our parents, whether still with us here or whether preceding us in paradise, we have those two angels who minister to us on a daily basis. And of course, we have the saints and angels and spirits of the righteous who minister and intercede for us. So we're not here to struggle alone. God only gives us enough temptations that he knows we can handle. And we can't complain if we haven't taken the medicine. He's given us the medicine to help us in our daily life, in our daily struggle. Truly blessed are those who have mercy, give to the poor, and fast and pray. Glory be to God forever. Amen.